I mean, there you have it, guys. I've come across some magical message that this is why Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were sent home from the tour. It's magical stuff. I mean, seriously, I think that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens could go on the indies, leave WWE, and have a way better career and get treated better and creative than what they're doing right now. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts? Hit me up at Wrestling Redneck. You guys are here listening to The Zone with Wrestling Redneck. Unfortunately, Misery Williams and Fane Black cannot join me tonight. But like I said, let's go on ahead and get into The Zone.
Welcome to SmackDown Live.
So this is where the big boys play, huh?
This is my show. My show.
My name's Blue Neck.
It ain't no fun if the homies can't have none. Do you carry it around on a leash? Does it wear a gimp mask? I don't want to waste your energy and get you all hot and sweaty like these gentlemen that we're about to talk about.
I am the elite. I am the greatest. I am the phenomenal.
Wrestling Redneck.
All right, guys, and we're back. I just got to say, really excited for this show tonight, guys. We were in my hometown, Ric Flair's hometown, Charlotte Flair's hometown, Charlotte, North Carolina, this evening for SmackDown Live. Usually they pull out big stuff. Last time, one of the last times they were in Charlotte for a big Raw, they saw probably the biggest ratings they'd ever have for a Raw. And tonight we definitely got our fair share of tricks and treats, even though Halloween's over, for this episode of SmackDown. We started off with Shane having a rally with the guys, with Team SD. Shane basically says they're... it's kind of something that what I said last night about the Blue Zone on the Red Zone. I don't know if you guys listened to the Red Zone. I basically called the Blue Zone the Zone, and the next day, Shane McMahon basically says that they're not going to call SmackDown Live the B brand anymore. It's going to be the brand. I just kind of thought that was funny that I kind of floated that out there in the ether the night before. Then Becky kind of cuts a promo saying she's going to break Asuka's arms, which made me chuckle because Asuka's going to break her face and every bone in her body. Baron Corbin also kind of cuts a little small promo on The Miz. I have a feeling that The Miz is going to win that one too. I don't see Raw losing a lot of these matches. Granted, I think after tonight's women's match, Alexa Bliss might lose her match. But then again, it could just be a nice little rub to have her beat her new opponent at Survivor Series. Then the New Day decides to cut a little promo, and we find out that SmackDown rocks. And there you have it, guys. We start the show with this little backstage promo, and then we get the Flight of the Bumblebee playing, and out comes Daniel Bryan. The Charlotte crowd goes crazy. He introduces the greatest champion of all time, AJ Styles, down to the ring. AJ comes out there and cuts he don't even really cut a promo. Daniel Bryan basically says, we're going to give you the same treatment that other champions get, and we're going to give you an advocate if you would like an advocate. Brock Lesnar has one, therefore you should have one since you're the main champion of the blue brand. And Daniel Bryan basically becomes AJ Styles' advocate. Now, granted, AJ Styles doesn't need an advocate. There's definitely AJ Styles' work and everything speaks for itself. But if you were going to have an advocate for AJ Styles, I think Daniel Bryan is probably the best advocate that you could have. When AJ Styles gets introduced, the crowd starts to... I don't know if the echo was so bad in the arena or what, but it sounded like they were chanting AJ fucking Styles. It could have just been how the echo was, where the AJ Styles part was getting a little discombobulated there. But I think they were saying AJ fucking Styles, and they were kind of bleeping the F out. So Daniel Bryan plays Paul Heyman and basically sells the shit out of AJ Styles. He even calls Brock Lesnar a quitter, and kind of calls out Brock Lesnar tapping to a half-ass knee bar, basically calling in Brock Lesnar's first MMA loss to Frank Mir, where he uh, he got kind of cheated out on that match. I'm not going to lie. He did quit. He did tap. I mean, that's quitting and everything. But he definitely should have already have won that match. That the referee shouldn't have stood him up in the situation they were in. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. By the way, this just makes me miss Daniel Bryan, seeing this promo that he cut. His in-ring work, his mic skills, you can see the passion that this guy has for wrestling. And it's something that I really enjoy to see. And I really hope that Daniel Bryan gets to come back. And it's going to be in a WWE ring. I mean, I'd hate for him to have to leave and like go to New Japan or Ring of Honor again. I mean, granted, I would be excited to see him wrestle there. But, I mean, his home is in the WWE, and that's where he needs to be. And basically, Daniel Bryan said that he only needed one reason to sell us on why we needed to watch Survivor Series, and that's to watch AJ mentally break Brock Lesnar. Honestly, I'm excited for AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar. This is going to be a great match. This is the first time we're ever going to get to see this. I honestly think Brock's going over just to put that AJ Styles name on his record. They can even sell it harder come WrestleMania when he, I guess he drops the belt to Roman Reigns again. But this is going to be a great match. I think they're going to have a great story to tell in the ring with these two guys. And I think kind of like what Hayes said yesterday on the Red Zone is that it depends on what Brock Lesnar that we get. Depends on if we're going to have like a 3-star match or a 5-star match. Because you know AJ's going to bring it regardless. And then we go to the back, and Jinder kind of confronts AJ. So what? You don't have the title anymore. Go on somewhere else, Jinder. Next, we get Sin Cara versus Baron Corbin. Sin Cara starts off the match pretty hot. Then Corbin kind of takes the fight to the outside after cutting Sin Cara off, which it was really nice to see Corbin not trying to get disqualified in this match. He kept kind of rolling back in the ring to reset the count. Corbin just mauling Sin Cara now after he kind of turned the tide in this fight. You know, as Corbin starts to kind of smack Sin Cara's head and talk shit to him on the ground, Sin Cara starts to make his little babyface comeback, gets a 2 count after a crossbody block. Sin Cara kicks out of a deep six pin attempt, or basically kicks out of a pin after a deep six. Moonsault from Sin Cara to Corbin on the outside. It's always nice to see a big guy like Sin Cara being able to do the flips. And basically, Sin Cara runs into an end of days when they get back in the ring. And we'll get Miz versus Corbin at Survivor Series. You know, this could be a match where, I guess, if Miz's title's not on the line, I know Bello, you hope and pray that he's going to break the record. And I honestly think The Miz could possibly lose at Survivor Series just because it's not for the title. You kind of give Baron Corbin that rub of him beating The Miz, who is white hot right now as a heel. Probably the best heel work in the WWE at this time. Definitely looking forward to this match. I think Corbin's going to go over just because I think they've got bigger plans for The Miz, and it's kind of time to kind of let Corbin get this name on his record and kind of see where it takes him with the U.S. title. Basically, they show the Charlotte Hornets out in the crowd. They kind of cut out there. And honestly, I had no idea that Dwight Howard played for the team. It's been like years since Grandmama, Alonzo Mourning, and Muggsy Bogues were on the team that I've actually watched the Hornets. And speaking of which, they offered Larry Johnson and Muggsy Bogues tickets, but they didn't want to sit anywhere near Byron Saxton, so I guess they called the next best thing, which would be Dwight Howard and the other guys from the Hornets that I don't even recognize. We get a little bit of a Shane and Daniel backstage. Is Daniel going to come back? I mean, do you guys think that Daniel's coming back to wrestle at Survivor Series or maybe even after Survivor Series? Because he basically wants to sit down and talk to Shane McMahon about cohesion, and you know, he was kind of upset that Shane didn't tell him and clue him in on the fact that Shane was going to run in on Raw a few weeks ago. When Daniel Bryan went to smooth things over, he received a chokeslam from Kane, which the way they kind of edited it, it could be why we're not going to see Daniel Bryan in the ring very soon, but he does want to have a talk with Shane after Survivor Series, which could be having him come back. We never know. We may see Daniel Bryan gaining more power as a GM. Though, I hope this leads to Daniel Bryan coming back after Survivor Series. Next up, We get Charlotte versus Natalya. We got two of the best in-ring workers in the women's division on SmackDown going at it in Charlotte this evening. We had, again, big pop for Charlotte when she comes out. We are in the Queen City. Thus, the Queen is going to get a big old pop when she comes out to the town of her namesake. She definitely starts this match off hot with a quick roll-up. She proceeds to basically brutalize Natalya for the first few minutes of this match, taking it to her. Charlotte looking for a figure four, but Natty reverses it and basically kind of takes over from here. Natty now kind of taking it over to Charlotte over in the outside. She tries to get a sharpshooter on Charlotte, and then basically Natty reverses that, gets up and suplexes. Charlotte suplexes Natty in the corner. Basically while on the outside, Charlotte's going for like a moonsault off the barricade, and Natty runs up and kind of puts her in a powerbomb position. But instead of powerbombing her, she kind of runs her into the video ring post. As they've got on those rings now. Natty drags Charlotte back into the ring and tries to slap on the sharpshooter. But Charlotte makes it to the ropes. Charlotte with a big boot after they get up shortly. And then Charlotte locks on the figure four and converts it to the figure eight. And Natty is forced to tap. And, I mean, this hometown crowd in Charlotte goes crazy when she wins the title. Now, I had kind of heard some rumors that they might not do it here in Charlotte. Just to be able to have her kind of win it at Starrcade. Which was kind of where Ric Flair got cut his teeth winning the NWA championship against Harley Race. But then, you know, she's going to be going on to wrestle Alexa Bliss at Survivor Series. And it's kind of funny. Renee Young gets in the ring and interviews Charlotte, who's quite blown up. Also, it could be emotions, too. She kind of cuts a teary-eyed promo about winning the title. She calls out Alexa Bliss. She talks a little bit about her dad and basically dedicates this win to the greatest of all time, Ric Flair. And as she's walking back up the ramp, you know, I guess, I don't know if this was planned. You know, she made it seem like Ric wasn't there because he's been sick. He's been trying to recover and recuperate. And basically, as she's walking up the ramp, Ric Flair's music hits. And she's kind of standing around looking like, really? Is he about to walk out? And her dad, the greatest of all time, Ric Flair, comes out. Gives his daughter a hug. They celebrate winning this championship in her hometown. Basically a town that Ric Flair helped put on the map. Just North Carolina wrestling, the NWA, all the stuff that culminates with Ric Flair and Charlotte is just one of the greatest representations of North Carolina wrestling. And honestly, this moment was pretty powerful. Just to see these two, death is not knocking on Ric Flair's door anytime soon. He's definitely shown that he can kick out. And hopefully we get to see more Ric Flair. Hopefully we get to see Charlotte. She's definitely going to be defending her belt at Starrcade. I wonder if they bring in somebody special to go against her, maybe Natalya. Maybe they'll bring somebody from Raw over, maybe Charlotte versus Asuka, which I don't know why they would do that, because then Asuka losing, they probably won't do that. Maybe bring Paige back. I don't know. I don't know who could contend for the belt at Starrcade, but I really hope, well, Charlotte's probably going to go over at Starrcade, because it is a Starrcade event, and it is something that kind of harkens back to the olden days of Ric Flair. Next we get Jimmy Uso versus Chad Gable, but before that we got a Bludgeon Brothers promo, and they will debut next week after Survivor Series. We expect the Bludgeon Brothers to come in and make a difference in this tag team division, which the Usos have basically said they've run through the tag team division, so they're going to have a tall test with the Bludgeon Brothers. I really like Luke Harper's ability in the ring. Eric Rowan, he's a good jobber. I hope that they let him do a little more with this gimmick and the fact that they're stepping out of the shadows of the Wyatt family and doing something completely different. Though I had high hopes for Luke Harper as a singles wrestler. I saw him wrestle live here in Raleigh, and he basically cut a promo at the end, said, "You're looking at the future WWE champion," and he had definitely slimmed down and looked a lot more svelte than what he did in the past when he was a member of the Wyatt family. So he's definitely putting in the work in the gym. Looks like Rowan has been putting in the work. I'm really excited to see what these guys got coming in with this new gimmick of the Bludgeon Brothers. But let's get back to the Jimmy Uso and Chad Gable match. I just can't get enough of this new Usos compared to their kid-friendly Usos that they used to be. They basically cut a promo on how they dominated the tag team division, like I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the Bludgeon Brothers. Just nothing but great things to say about this new version of the Usos. They basically calling out Cesaro and just inviting them to the Uso penitentiary. Then Chad Gable and Jimmy Uso start the match, and Gable just comes out on fire, just working that left leg of Jimmy Uso. Another thing about Gable, I could see him becoming something bigger later in his career. I understand he isn't like one of Vince's guys, like a big, strong, like Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman type guy. He's more of like a Kurt Angle style. But look at the success and the popularity that Kurt Angle had in the WWE. Granted, he was a gold medal winning Olympic athlete, but Chad Gable's in-ring skill, his mic skills are getting a lot better now. I mean, he definitely was the reason why American Alpha and Jason Jordan kind of took off the way they did, because Jason Jordan was definitely floundering in NXT before Gable came into his life. But back to the match, Jimmy changes the momentum and is doing quite well for a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. But Gable turns the tide again and starts to jawjack with Jay on the outside, and basically off the distraction, Jimmy gets a super kick and pins Gable for the 1-2-3. So it looks like we're going to get, well, we already knew that, but we're going to get basically the Usos versus Sheamus and Cesaro, the bar. Excited for that match. You know, we'll wait and see what I guess the WWE's got in store for Gable and Shelton Benjamin down the road. But right now, it's all about the Usos, and I honestly think the Usos could win this match too with the bar. I like how things have been mixed up to put the Shield versus the New Day, which we'll get into that later. So I think this is going to be a great match. They were the surviving teams last year. So it's kind of a rematch from last year's Survivor Series. So again, we're looking forward to that. Next we got, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens backstage. They were basically trashing the New Day and the Shield and putting over the Kevin and Sammy show. Basically, that's the show that you need to watch. You're not here for any of that other crap. We're all here for the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens show, or the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn show. It depends on how you want to say it. Next match, we get New Day versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. It's a New Day in Charlotte when Big E basically asks for us to clap for our four-time tag team champions. As they're in the ring, they kind of cut a little promo. They talk about how the Shield has so many titles between themselves, but the New Day has 27 titles between themselves. Most of those are owned by Kofi Kingston. Honestly, if you kind of think back and count the title reigns that they got, Xavier Woods' only tag titles with the New Day. I think the Big E held the Intercontinental title once or twice, maybe the U.S. title once. I think mostly just the Intercontinental title. And then, of course, Kofi. Kofi's had the run that he's had in the WWE where he's pretty much won every single title there is to win. They also basically cut a promo on how the Shield is a bunch of dogs and dogs eat poop. But unfortunately for the New Day, unicorn shit rainbow. And if the Shield eats poop, then they're prepared to eat some rainbows come Survivor Series. And I think the New Day is gonna have their hands full with the reunited Shield. Roman Reigns coming back from viral meningitis. I know when I've been sick for a long time and I've kind of been out of action, I want to get right back to work. Just bring it right. Bring the intensity and the fire that I haven't had because I've been down on my luck. I've been sick. So expect something big from Roman Reigns at Survivor Series with the Shield. But another thing, too, that the New Day said that was kind of funny was that the Shield had gotten back together for cuffing season. For those that pay attention to Black Twitter, you might know what cuffing season is. If not, cuffing season is when it gets to wintertime. You find you a little boo thing to cuddle up with. Netflix and chill, Hulu and chill, WWE Network and chill. Definitely the season for cuffing. When it gets cold outside, sit by the fire. You know, do a little naughty stuff if you got to. But again, just like cuffing season, the New Day says that the Shield will break up come summertime. Because there's no need to be cuffed up with somebody when it's hot outside. Roman Reigns will go his own way. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose will go their own way. But the one thing will remain the same, and that is that the New Day will remain the New Day. They are a team that has not turned on each other. As Big E says, they are a team that has each other's backs. And you know why? It's because New Day rocks. New Day rocks. So basically we get Big E and Xavier Woods in this tag team match tonight. New Day controlling Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens early. Just rolling strong to start this match off. Then right around the break, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens kind of take back over. just taking it to Big E and Xavier Woods before Xavier Woods can get that hot tag into Big E, who basically just steamrolls Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, just belly to back suplexes, just all kinds of crazy stuff from Big E. And then out of nowhere, which the crowd kind of sold this a little bit, they kind of got up and looked towards the normal entrance spot for the Shield before they came out multiple times. But then you hear the Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield. You hear that come over the crowd and come over the loudspeakers, and the crowd just goes crazy. Just something great. They come down. There's five men in the ring, so of course the Shield's outnumbered, but they're not afraid. They're not afraid to hop in there, five against three. But right as they're about to get in, old Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn sneak out the ring and leave the New Day just in the ring by themselves. They basically run out on SmackDown, which was kind of hilarious. They were sent home just recently, and here they are running out on the SmackDown brand as the Shield comes out. And Shield comes in and just starts beating down on the New Day. But then the Usos come out to save the New Day, and Sheamus and Cesaro show up. They come in, they start kicking ass, and as Sheamus and Cesaro are kicking ass, we cut back to the backstage area where the SmackDown women's locker room is, and you've got Team Foxy standing outside the door, and they run in there and they just ransack the women's locker room. I mean, just decimating everybody in there. Poor Lana getting drugged across the floor and getting forearms from Alexa Bliss. And then the five women that are in the match kind of circle around Charlotte after they've beaten her up and just take it to her one more time before they cut back to the ring. And Samoa Joe, Apollo Crews, Finn Balor, Titus O'Neil come running out of the crowd to join the fight. But then you get Shane McMahon, Bobby Roode, Baron Corbin, the Hype Bros, and I mean even Shinsuke Nakamura come down to the ring to try to help their SmackDown brethren. And just it's a melee. I mean, you look over it just bodies all over the place. Then they cut back up to the top of the ramp, and you see Angle just sending out the big man, Country Strong, Braun Strowman. He comes down, and you know it's over after Braun comes down to the ring. I mean, he could probably take on the five men in the Survivor Series match by himself. But Angle sends Strowman down to the ring. Nakamura is the first one to meet him as soon as he gets in the ring. Of course, the man who brought Strong Style to the WWE, he ain't afraid of nobody. He ain't afraid to go in there and get dirty with Braun Strowman. He hits him with a couple kicks and a couple punches, but then Braun just smashes him. Then Shane hits Braun from behind, which was a big mistake. Braun basically turns around and smashes Shane McMahon. They kind of cut to Kurt Angle, and he's got this real sick, sadistic, happy smile on his face. It's quite great. The faces that Kurt Angle makes and has made since he's come back, I don't know if you guys remember the ambulance when Braun got smashed in the ambulance by Roman, the look of concern on his face that he had. I really love Kurt Angle's acting. Those acting classes have definitely paid off. Then the Shield proceeds to victimize Shane McMahon a little more. Francesca Turbo 2. Again, I mentioned on Red Zone last night that Francesca could possibly get destroyed and in the Survivor Series match. She got destroyed tonight. It's kind of funny. Two of the things that I kind of mentioned last night were said today on SmackDown. Francesca Turbo 2 gets broken over Big E's back, so we'll probably get a new Francesca come Survivor Series, or she may just be patched up and taped together before she gets destroyed again. We get the Shield kind of holds Shane McMahon. Kurt Angle kind of gets in his face and then proceeds to give the Shield the thumbs up and the thumbs down, meaning we're about to see a triple PB, and that PB is short for Powerbomb. The Shield puts up Shane McMahon and slams him to the ground with a triple PB. Then they basically get him back up. Angle rips off his jacket and picks up Shane for... it wasn't a very clean-looking Angle slam, but... it was still worked. Angle gets the Angle slam on Shane. And then the crowd, at the behest of the crowd, and maybe Braun Strowman kind of pushed him a little bit after a few minutes of just kind of staring at Shane while he's laying there, the Shield picks him back up and spikes him on the ground with another triple PB. And that's how we end the night. Raw's leaving the ring and Shane's just left there, decimated in the ring. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, we've got Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens dipping out on Team SmackDown because they could care less about either The Shield or The New Day because, again, it seems like they're going into business for themselves with the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens show, or the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn show, depending on how you like to say it. Definitely some predictions going into Survivor Series. Let's see. I think the SmackDown women will probably win. I think the Raw team has to win. I wonder if there will be some kind of setup for Kurt Angle versus Triple H kind of going into Royal Rumble, leading into WrestleMania. A lot of signs point that these two might be headed for a match, one last match for Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. I think Charlotte's probably going to go over Alexa Bliss. The Usos over Cesaro and The Bar. I have a feeling that The Shield's going to decimate The New Day. Vince's man Roman is definitely going to go over. He's not losing anytime soon. And then for the main event of the night, I have a feeling that we're going to see a great match with AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar, but I honestly think that Brock Lesnar's going to end up winning that match. I mean, it's just, he's the Universal Champion. That's going to be the belt that goes over. I would like to see The Miz beat Baron Corbin, but I have a feeling that they might have Baron Corbin beat The Miz because it is a non-title match. Kind of help boost the U.S. title a little bit, even though that The Miz is having this historical title reign at the moment. He's doing some of the best work The Miz has probably ever done. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to Survivor Series. There's a lot of great stuff set up for that match. I don't even know what the pre-show match is going to be. I mean, it's probably going to be like a cruiserweight match. We might get like Enzo versus Kalisto again. Maybe Enzo versus Neville, if they bring Neville back. There's a lot of rumors about Neville coming back. But yeah, solid SmackDown Live tonight. It's a great go-home show. I think this is probably the most excited I've been for a pay-per-view that they've put on in a while. I definitely wasn't too excited for like Hell in a Cell and TLC. SummerSlam kind of was a little lackluster in my opinion. Hopefully they don't have all this lead up and this awesomeness and then have a shitty Survivor Series. I definitely would not appreciate that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say for this evening. Guys, you're listening to the Wrestling World Podcast Network. I am at Wrestling Redneck. That is at RASSLINREDNECK. And if you were listening to the Red Zone last night, you will surely know that Lucha Underground Season 4 will be coming out. And that means myself, CEO Hayes, and the Andrew Bello will be going back to the temple to report. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily to risk our lives to bring you guys firsthand experience of what is going on in the temple, what goes on in Lucha Underground. Definitely check in for The Love of Lucha Season 4 coming to you soon. There's a lot to shake up with. We don't know if Pentagon's going to still be champion there. Who knows if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn decide to quit the WWE and get fired. We could find them in the temple. I mean, you never know. I think the powers that Sami Zayn could have skanking all over the temple, destructive forces. And then we all know Kevin Owens would just probably be like Mil Muertes versus Kevin Owens for the gauntlet. Oh man, I think I just wet myself just thinking about it. It's so great. Guys, it's been the Blue Zone. Actually, no, sorry, it's been The Zone. Those guys over there at Red Zone, they ain't got shit on what we got over here on the Blue Zone with myself, Misery Williams, the Mr. Snapchat extraordinaire, Fame Black. Guys, we appreciate you listening in tonight. You have been listening to The Zone on the Wrestling World Podcast Network.